Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years as radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. That's jbsba.com. Somebody emailed me the other day and said, slow down when you give the website. I thought I was saying it, slow it up, but maybe not. Or jimblasingame.com, and that's just like it sounds. No extra S's or G's. No sticking H in there. There's no H in my name. Or smallbusinessadvocate.com. If you like to type, that's the long one. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Thank you very much to those of you who have been and who still are, after all, some of you after all these years. Rick Pinion is our guest and our good friend. Rick is the president and the founder of Pinion Financial Services, and he is our financial planning expert on the Brain Trust. He's our good friend. Rick Pinion, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, Jim.
Good morning to you. And also a radio star, ladies and gentlemen. He's got his own radio show on a CNN affiliate there in the D.C. area. Right, Rick?
That's right. It's 570-WTNT.
Yeah.
It's CNN News at the top of the hour, and then I come on Sunday morning at about 9:06.
All right. And I was a guest on Rick's show recently. It was a lot of fun. Had a good show, good time, and Rick runs a good show. And Rick, I know we got to do something. We got to take care of a little detail before we go any further, don't we?
That's right, Jim. You have a good memory. We always have to give our disclaimer at the beginning of the show. So I just want to remind the listeners that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. You should always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through SunAmerica Securities Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member NASD and SIPC, and Pinion Financial Services, LLC, and SunAmerica Securities are not affiliated.
And that's a requirement of the securities industry, which Rick is a very proud and successful member of, and which I used to be many years ago. Rick is required to give that little disclaimer every time, and I know it takes a little time, but it's a good thing. It's also an instructive thing. It lets people know, Rick, that the securities industry operates in the environment of full disclosure, not caveat emptor.
And it's a highly regulated industry, too.
Highly regulated, and to a large degree for good reason. Okay, Rick, you're thinking mutual funds today, aren't you?
Yeah, today's mutual fund update today. And
all
I
right.
thought it'd be a good time to talk about it because it's been a while since we've talked about investments as part of the realm of financial planning.
Right,
and
all right.
I thought mutual funds touch a lot of people. Many people have mutual funds. Some people may be a little bit curious about it, so I thought, with your permission, we talk about this.
Let's do it.
Good. Maybe we should start out and talk a little bit about, you know, what is a mutual fund,
mm-hmm.
how does it work, and how is it different from other types of investments. And when I think of mutual funds, I think of a large corporation or a partnership or a trust. And what they do is they pool the money of many different investors, and they provide some advantages over and above a person going out and buying individual stocks or bonds. For example, a mutual fund can provide things like professional management, diversification of investments. That's very difficult, Jim, for the average person to obtain
right.
independently.
Also, dollar cost averaging, too, inside of the investment. I mean, the kind of timing, I guess maybe is a better way to say that, the timing of purchases mutual funds offer that the average investor just can't be good at.
Yeah, but that's a very good concept, dollar cost averaging. Maybe we should just take a second and explain how that works to the listeners. Dollar cost averaging, by the way, does not necessarily guarantee a profit. It doesn't prevent a loss. But what it does is allows people to invest on a systematic, that's systematic as well as a periodic basis. So some of the money that they're investing, the market's going to be high, the share's going to be high, and sometimes it's going to be low. But through a disciplined approach, over time, They're going to even out the ebbs and flows of the market and smooth out the volatility, because volatility is something that a lot of people have trouble stomaching, you know, when the market mm-hmm. starts to gyrate. Mm-hmm. So dollar cost averaging is what many people are doing now when they put money into their retirement plans, for example.
Right. Well, and the thing is if you're buying mutual funds, you know, if you're not buying mutual funds, that means you're buying stocks if you're in the stock market. And that means that you've got to decide which stocks and when to buy. And even if you have a disciplined approach to buying, you're going to buy so much every month and you know which stocks you want to buy. That doesn't mean, though, that you're buying, you know, the right stocks. What if you make a mistake? And also, mutual funds also allow you to buy smaller increments and get a wider range of stocks. And we're going to get Rick to explain that to us in just a few minutes. It's 20 till. We'll be right back with Rick Pinion. Stay with us.
Hit that streets of running and try to meet the masses. Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our financial planning expert in the Brain Trust, Richard Pinion. Rick is a great guy, been with us for a long time now. And Rick, I was talking as we went to the break, just to get us out of the into the break. I was mentioning that one of the cool things about mutual funds is that even somebody who only wants to invest, let's say, $100 a month, can, you know, they might not be able to go out. I mean, I guess they can buy, you know, 20 shares of something to sell it for $5. But it's hard for somebody with that level of investing to be able to get any kind of consistency in terms of their, you know, not understanding maybe exactly which stocks they should buy. Whereas if they've invested in a mutual fund, they've got fund managers who allow people to buy in, say, $100 increments, and they get that $100 spread across quite a few stocks in quite a few different industries, don't they?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, Jim. You know, for someone that has, let's say, $100 a month, and talk about, you know, a wide diversification, that $100 a month may buy hundreds, if not thousands, of little pieces of different companies out there. And for them to go out and buy individual stocks, they may have trying to figure out which ones are the best. They have trouble diversifying with that, you know, level of funding.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say for the average person, mutual funds is probably the best way to go. And, you know, years and years ago, they didn't have mutual funds. People were forced to buy individual stocks and bonds. So it's kind of refreshing that the mutual funds came along.
Well, it has. But Rick, have mutual funds, how about the last 2 or 3 years? It seems to me that there's been some I know there's been some controversy because there were some problems with some mutual funds, but how have mutual funds performed? Never mind the controversy. How have they performed as an investment strategy?
Well, you know, we went through a rough period, probably from, I would say, you know, at the end of 2001 until just recently, mutual funds went down, you know, quite a bit. Some people lost 20, 30, 40% of their money. But one of the nice things about mutual funds is that if they had some of that money in bonds as well as equities or stock,
mm-hmm.
they weren't impacted as much. Because remember, fixed income, or what we call bonds or fixed income, you can use those words interchangeably, were not affected by the market. They were affected by interest rates. So now we're starting to see, as interest rates creep up a little bit, that the bond funds are being impacted. So it's that.
But Rick, when the mutual funds went down, and you said people lost a lot of money, would they have lost any less money if they'd just been directly invested in stocks?
They might have lost even more when you think about it.
If they were aggregated in one sector that was hit pretty hard.
Yeah, if they were over concentrated in the dot-coms, you know, they became dot-bombs.
Right.
And the nice thing about the mutual funds is you don't have to worry about, you know, you've got a manager looking over the shoulder. In fact, a mutual fund reminds me of a shopping mall. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you walk through a shopping mall, you'll see when some of the stores are not doing well, the manager of the mall will take them out and replace them with a company that's doing better.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a Darwinian type approach.
Mm-hmm.
Strongest, fittest, to survive.
Right.
Same with mutual funds. But you've always got somebody doing the picking for you rather than you trying to do the picking.
How do we choose a mutual fund to do business with?
Well, I think there's several different ways to do it. First of all, I think a person should definitely sit down with a financial advisor and work through this and find out which funds are best for them. And, of course, the most financial advisors are people that want to do it themselves, and there are a few of those out there. I call them do-it-yourselfers. There's different rating services. Like, for example, there's a company called Morningstar that gives the performance and the quality of the different funds. And they rank them just like generals, like a 5-star general and a 4,
right.
3, 2, 1. So I would think as long as a person, this is my opinion, but I would think as long as a person has a 4 or 5-star with Morningstar, then that's going to give them a pretty good indication that that fund's doing pretty good.
So go to Morningstar.com and see what they say about different funds?
Yeah, you can go to Morningstar's website, Morningstar.com, and they'll give you a little brief introduction, and they'll tell you about each of the different funds. So if you've got a 5-star with Morningstar, regardless of which fund family you're with, that should be a pretty good fund.
Right. All right. Now, is the rating based on the performance of that particular mutual fund?
Yes, yeah, based on what we call risk-adjusted return. And it's derived from, you know, a weighted average of performance figures, you know, over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So not to get too technical, but it's like a report card that someone brings home from school. And they're saying, based on a number of different factors, here's how the mutual funds held up in relation to others in their peer group.
Now, and of course, you can own multiple mutual funds, can't you? I mean, you can invest. In fact, some companies have families of mutual funds, don't they?
Yeah, and we recommend that. In other words, a person should be broad-based. They should have some in like a growth fund and some in a balance fund and some in international. And
right.
Some in growth and income.
Maybe technology, a technology fund, or maybe even a biotech fund or something like that?
Mm-hmm. That's what we call sector funds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they carve out a specific sector of the economy to invest in. So with sector funds, they're a little dicey, so you have to be careful not to put too much in sector.
Well, but the point is to diversify. Maybe put 5% or 10% or something like that into something like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so there's many, many different ways to invest with the mutual funds. And most people, I think, come across mutual funds when they open up an IRA or
right. They
have a retirement plan at work or they want to save for their child's, you know, college funding. That's when they first learn or they first get introduced to mutual funds.
Mm-hmm. What mutual funds are you recommending now? And I don't necessarily mean the companies, but I'll tell you what, we need to take a break here in a second. And when we come back, I'd like to get your thoughts on specifically how do we look? What are some of the things that you're looking for your clients in a mutual fund? And we're going to do that right after these messages with our good friend Rick Pinion. Right after these messages.
Deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the evergreens, there stood a log cabin made of earth and wood, where lived a country boy named Johnny B. Good, who never ever learned to read or write.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Rick Pinion, the president and the founder of Pinion Financial Services. Rick, tell us about Pinion Financial Services.
Pinion Financial Services, LLC, is a registered investment advisory firm. I'm a member or president of Pinion Financial Services. It's regulated both by the Securities and Exchange Commission, as well as the Attorney General's office here in Maryland, as well as the other states that we operate in. Right now, we're currently operating in about 30 states throughout the United States. Basically, it's a firm that I use to be somewhat objective in terms of what I recommend. We don't have proprietary products, and we take a look at financial planning from a holistic point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And it also allows me to do what we call fee advisory work under the 1940 Act, where I hold myself up as a registered investment advisor.
Mm-hmm. And you work on commission as well as fee-based, too, don't you?
Yeah. The commission side is the NASD. That's where the NASD regulates commission-type
right.
activity.
Anytime there's a commission involved, where there's a possibility of a conflict, that's when the regulation gets involved, right?
It sure does.
Yeah.
Time.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and give us your website, too, by the way.
Yeah, the website is pinionfinancial.com, which is similar to our email. Our email is very similar. It's pinion@pinionfinancial.com. Com.
Check out his website, folks. He's got quite a few features, quite a few resources on the site that are free that I think you'll enjoy checking out. And if you have a question, ask Rick. He'll answer. He'll help you whether you're doing business with him or not. And that's what we like about Rick. Okay, Rick. Let's when you're helping your clients pick a mutual fund, what's some specific advice that you give them?
Well, what I do is I map out a strategy almost like a pie chart, and I tell people that we have to use percentages. So first I measure their risk tolerance to see if, you know, if they're aggressive or they're conservative or they're moderate or moderate conservative or moderate aggressive. And once we've nailed down their risk tolerance and their time horizon, and time horizon is very important,
mm-hmm.
because that determines their recovery period in case the market goes into a tailspin. Once we do that, then I lay out a plan for them or a strategy based on certain percentages in different types of mutual funds.
Mm-hmm.
When I say different types, I'm talking about different styles of mutual funds, like growth or value or growth and income or international. Or, you know, I can go on and on in terms of different types. And once we put that together, we put together the overall global strategy. We normally don't deviate too much from that, you know, in terms of the percentages. However, within each category, we may want to fiddle a little bit and try to determine which are the best funds within that particular category.
So I know that typically you choose a strategy that really is focused on that time horizon is very important, when they're going to need the money. I know that's very important, but do you ever, you know, some clients may not know much about stocks, but they know a little bit about one particular industry or one sector, as you called it. Do you ever help them sort of focus on that a little bit so that they can track, you know, they may be a little more interested in tracking that sector than they would some of the others?
Sure. I mean, if I'm dealing with a physician, they love to invest in the healthcare industry,
right.
or, you know, the drug
mm-hmm.
industry. So right. just for fun, we might put a little bit of their money in one of those sector funds.
Give them something to watch a little bit.
Yeah, and they have fun doing that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As long as we don't overdo it, that's fine with me.
All right. Okay. All right. What else?
Let's see. The other thing about a mutual fund that I think the listener should know is that there's so many of them out there. There's thousands of different mutual funds, and it's very important because it's so hard to figure out all of them. If you're going to invest in mutual funds or you're going to do financial planning, it's important you deal with a qualified individual. I've had a number of people that have come to me over the last two or three years that tried to do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like when you ride a bicycle for the first time. It's a little bit difficult. And so by working with someone who's qualified, they'll help sort out the landscape for you so you won't make a mistake. There's been a huge number of mistakes people have made over the years, especially when it comes to things like mutual funds.
Right.
The biggest one, Jim, is trying to chase yield.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming that what happened yesterday is a precursor for what's going to happen tomorrow, and it doesn't work that way. You know, the old expression, you know, past performance is no indication of
future
results.
That's exactly right.
And that is a serious, you know, comment on what happens to the market.
Well, especially when, you know, for example, Mr. Greenspan will come out one day and say, you know, everything is wonderful. The world is going to get, you know, is going to be great the rest of all of our lives. And for some reason, the market will go down instead of up.
Well, the market has a mind of its own.
It does, doesn't it?
And it's motivated.
Well, and that's the reason why I think mutual funds are important, because they're less volatile. Rick, we've come up on the end of the hour, and I want to thank you for being here. As always, you do a great job of helping us with this and helping us understand today how mutual funds can be part of our portfolio. Give us your website one more time before we go.
www.pinionfinancial.com.
Thanks, Rick. We appreciate you very much. See you next time.
Okay.
See you later. Rick Pinion, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.